Well, hello there, and welcome to episode 348 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. What we do on this show is read through the Bible, and we're doing it on three tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament, and track three is the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day we read from one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. This is the final day of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. I'll have a few words to say about that at the end of the show today, so stick around. But first, today we're on track one, which puts us in the book of 2 Samuel. Last time, David's son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Tamar's brother Absalom avenged her by killing Amnon. Absalom was afraid of his father, King David, and went into hiding for 2 years. By the end of that time, David had accepted the death of Amnon and missed Absalom, and so he forgave him. This put Absalom right where he wanted, first in line for the throne. Let's see what happens today. 2 Samuel chapter 15. After this, Absalom bought a chariot and horses, and he hired 50 bodyguards to run ahead of him. He got up early every morning and went out to the gate of the city. When people brought a case to the king for judgment, Absalom would ask where in Israel they were from, and they would tell him their tribe. Then Absalom would say, "You've really got a strong case here. It's too bad the king doesn't have anyone to hear it. I wish I were the judge. Then everyone could bring their cases to me for judgment, and I would give them justice." When people tried to bow before him, Absalom wouldn't let them. Instead, he took them by the hand and kissed them. Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment, and so he stole the hearts of all the people of Israel. After 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill a vow I made to him. For while your servant was at Geshur in Aram, I promised to sacrifice to the Lord in Hebron if he would bring me back to Jerusalem." "All right," the king told him, "go and fulfill your vow." So Absalom went to Hebron, but while he was there, he sent secret messengers to all the tribes of Israel to stir up a rebellion against the king. "As soon as you hear the ram's horn," the message read, "you are to say, 'Absalom has been crowned king in Hebron.'" He took 200 men from Jerusalem with him as guests, but they knew nothing of his intentions. While Absalom was offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, one of David's counselors who lived in Gilo. Soon, many others also joined Absalom, and the conspiracy gained momentum. A messenger soon arrived in Jerusalem to tell David, "All Israel has joined Absalom in a conspiracy against you. Then we must flee at once, or it will be too late." David urged his men, "Hurry, if we get out of the city before Absalom arrives, both we and the city of Jerusalem will be spared from disaster." "We're with you," his advisors replied. "Do what you think is best." So the king and all his household set out at once. He left no one behind except 10 of his concubines to look after the palace. The king and all his people set out on foot, pausing at the last house to let all the king's men move past to lead the way. There were 600 men from Gath who had come with David, along with the king's bodyguard. Then the king turned and said to Ittai, a leader of the men from Gath, "Why are you coming with us? Go on back to King Absalom, for you are a guest in Israel, a foreigner, an exile. You arrived only recently, and should I force you today to wander with us? I don't even know where we will go. Go on back and take your kinsmen with you, and may the Lord show you his unfailing love and faithfulness." But Ittai said to the king, "I vow by the Lord and by your own life that I will go wherever my lord the king goes, no matter what happens, whether it means life or death." David replied, "All right, come with us." So Ittai and all his men and their families went along. Everyone cried loudly as the king and his followers passed by. They crossed the Kidron Valley and then went out toward the wilderness. Zadok and all the Levites also came along, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. They set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar offered sacrifices until everyone had passed out of the city. Then the king instructed Zadok to take the Ark of God back into the city. "If the Lord sees fit," David said, "he will bring me back to see the Ark and the Tabernacle again. But if he is through with me, then let him do what seems best to him." The king also told Zadok the priest, "Look, here's my plan. You and Abiathar should return quietly to the city with your son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan. I will stop at the shallows of the Jordan River and wait there for a report from you." So Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of God back to the city and stayed there. David walked up the road to the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered, and his feet were bare as a sign of mourning. And the people who were with him covered their heads and wept as they climbed the hill. When someone told David that his advisor Ahithophel was now backing Absalom, David prayed, "O Lord, let Ahithophel give Absalom foolish advice." When David reached the summit of the Mount of Olives where people worshipped God, Hushai the Archite was waiting there for him. Hushai had torn his clothing and put dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. But David told him, "If you go with me, you will only be a burden. Return to Jerusalem and tell Absalom, 'I will now be your advisor, O king, just as I was your father's advisor in the past.' Then you can frustrate and counter Ahithophel's advice. Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, will be there. Tell them about the plans being made in the king's palace, and they will send their sons Ahimaaz and Jonathan to tell me what is going on." So David's friend Hushai returned to Jerusalem, getting there just as Absalom arrived. May God bless the reading of His Word. If you don't mind, I'm going to keep my comments on today's reading short because I'd like to talk to the Dog Days of Podcasting participants who might be listening. Remember the judgment that God brought to David after the Bathsheba incident? He said, "Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you." In our last episode, the judgment started in David's own home, and now it's affecting his kingdom. Absalom has begun an open rebellion against his father. The thing is, if he had just waited, the kingdom would be his anyway, since he's first in line to take the throne. But pride and arrogance have made him impatient. It's going to take about 3 more chapters for this to play out. What do you suppose will happen with David and Absalom? Keep coming back to find out. And now about the Dog Days of Podcasting. It has been an honor and a pleasure to be a part of this challenge that Craig Stepp began 4 or 5 years ago, I believe. I just went to dogdaysofpodcasting.com to confirm that date, but the site is down, which is sort of funny since today is the last day of the challenge. I'm sure Craig is working on the site even as I speak. The point is, I've really enjoyed listening to the other podcasters who joined this year. This was my first year, and I didn't really know what I was in for. There were comic book podcasts, storytelling podcasts, comedy, daily diaries, music, educational, and more. What an eclectic group it was. Everybody had something to contribute, and it's been quite a task to try to keep up, which I must confess I failed at doing. But I did at least sample every show. For those of you podcasters who may still be listening to this show, thank you for the honor of giving me the most precious gift any of us has, your time. I hope you found listening here worthwhile, and I truly hope that you'll stick around. I hope I've been able, with the after the reading remarks, to show you that God is not angry with you, that He loves you, and that He's done everything possible to bring you into a relationship with Him. He offers you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. I hope I've been able to show you that Christians are not like the media and popular culture portray us to be. We're not about being against everything. We are about being for love. We're all broken, every one of us, and we all desperately need the love and forgiveness that is only available through Jesus. My primary concern is not what you do or don't do. I do sincerely want you to know Jesus Christ because I believe that He is the only way to the Father. I believe that not because I'm narrow-minded, but because He said it Himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." If that statement intrigues you, or if you'd like to know more about why Jesus said that, then write to me and keep listening to the show. I'm always happy to answer email. If you'd like to have a dialogue via email privately, I'm here at steve@lifespringmedia.com. For my regular listeners, I appreciate your being there. You have no idea how much I value your time and attention. And hey, I can't give you any details right now, but I'm working on adding a new feature to the show that I know you're really going to enjoy. I'm still in the very early stages of development, but I'm really, really excited about it. I'm hoping to roll it out in the next 30 days or so, so keep listening. And as always, your comments are welcome. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 348.lifespringmedia.com. And you can tweet me at @_SteveWebb_, and be sure you put a #LifespringMedia in there so I'll see it. Tomorrow is Saturday, and let's all have a great weekend. It's going to be nice for me to take a couple of days off. I'll see you Monday, though, when we're back in the book of Hebrews. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.